Hello, welcome to the Wednesday, October 7th, 2015 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Xavier today followed up my diary about the Cybersecurity Awareness Month with a diary that lists a number of commonly used proverbs that can easily be applied to security. Probably something that you can take a look at if you would like to take some of these ideas for your own security awareness program. And two security researchers who purchased a refurbished Juniper router were somewhat surprised that this router did not arrive in the factory default configuration. Instead, the router did prompt them for a password, which of course they reset using the standard Juniper password reset procedure. Now, once they got access to the router, they found a number of configuration files that were left behind by the prior owner. These configuration files included passwords and pre-shared keys, and of course, things like, for example, the IP address of the authentication server. Even more surprising was that the prior owner of this particular router apparently was Google. The researchers did report the issue to Google, who then paid those researchers $5,000 as part of Google's vulnerability bounty program. Google didn't have any input at this point how this exactly happened, but of course they said they have to look closer at the way how they decommission equipment like this. Many companies do have decent programs in place to dispose of desktops, in particular if they include hard disks, and to dispose of no longer used or broken hard disks in general. But a lot of the times, devices like this, maybe routers, copiers or such, escape these IT decommissioning projects and as a result end up like this router in the refurbished marketplace. Cisco has an interesting article about a ransomware operation that they shut down recently. In July, they observed this particular outfit using the Ankler exploit kit to spread ransomware. And Cisco noticed that a lot of the infrastructure of this particular group, Limestone Networks, to host a lot of their infrastructure servers. So Cisco got together with Limestone Networks and managed to shut down these servers. Now, while Cisco was observing these servers, they saw hundreds of thousands of exploit kits being delivered. In their headline, they mention $60 million annually being made from the botnet. If you're looking at the details of the report, this is really just a rough guess. It's probably not a bad guess, but for example, they don't actually know, based on their research, how much money and how many users actually paid the operators of this crypto ransomware. However, they took a number that Symantec published earlier that assumes that 2.9% of victims do pay off for crypto ransomware. That sounds like a reasonable number. They also make the assumption that 40% of the users that are actually hitting the exploit kit page are being infected. And now that is actually based on earlier work that Cisco did, where they sort of got a pretty good handle on this particular number. And of course, Cisco products, including Snort, are now including signatures for this particular ransomware operation. And then we got some interesting research from the French Network and Information Security Agency about how to abuse cell phones' voice control interface. Now, when I first sort of saw the first couple slides of this particular presentation, I didn't really think it's anything that new and groundbreaking. We all know if you enable features like Hey Siri on a phone, that strangers potentially could speak commands to your phone. This one is a little bit different in that you inject voice commands without the user actually hearing anything. What this takes advantage of is that some phones, first of all, also include an FM radio, and if they do, the headset wires are used as an antenna. So essentially what they were able to do is they were able to inject an HF electromagnetic signal into the headphone wire that was then interpreted by the phone as a voice command. Pretty interesting. It is only working short range. They're saying about 5 meters. Essentially, the length of the headphone wires is sort of what gives you an order of magnitude on the distance for which it will receive these signals. Well, and that's it for today. Thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.